Oh, yeah. Well, we got people. What's up? It's Aaron Nagler, Cheesehead TV, coming to you live from the LiveX studio in Midtown Manhattan. It's Friday, people. Drink if you got one. How is everyone? Hope everyone's having a great end to their week. And hey, don't leave your hunger on the sidelines. Tackle it the right way at Festival Foods, the grocery and tailgating headquarters of the Green Bay Packers. From their fan-favorite Festy Burgers to must-have game day wings and the legendary Towering T-Bone, Festival Foods has everything you need to make your next tailgating party a touchdown. And hey, your next tailgating party is most likely Sunday, getting ready for the Super Bowl. So hey, if there's a weekend you need to visit Festival Foods, this is it, right here, right now. This is the Super Bowl of grocery shopping. If you want more mouthwatering options, explore all of their game day worthy food at festfoods.com/tailgating. Good afternoon, Brett. How you doing, buddy? Super Bowl's here. Well, almost. I won't be streaming again until after the Super Bowl. So figure we talk a little bit about it, seeing as they're going to bother playing it and everything. Obviously, lots been made over the last 2 weeks about the 49ers running all over the Packers. And I don't expect that to happen again in the Super Bowl, obviously, against the Chiefs. But I do think the 49ers can and will run the football quite a bit against the Chiefs. I think they'll play ball control much as they can. And I do think it's going to be a tough out for Kansas City. I am very much rooting for Andy Reid to get a Super Bowl ring. I think he's one of the great modern coaches. Having a ring would pretty much cement the idea of him being one of the best coaches in the last couple decades. I think a lot of people kind of shortchange him because of the fact that he never closed the deal in Philadelphia. He is a great, great coach. And like I said, rooting for him. Obviously, the Green Bay ties help there in that regard emotionally. But I do think just regardless of where your rooting interests lie, you can't deny the guy is one of the best play callers, play designers in the league. I think he's done a great job in Kansas City, and I want him to get that ring. That said, the 49ers have a great defense, and they have a great running game. That is a potent combo, especially in a Super Bowl. It's going to be a great game. I do think the 49ers are going to be a lot more physical than the Chiefs are expecting. I look throughout the year at what the Chiefs have done. They've clearly weathered the storm, losing Patrick Mahomes for a while. Mahomes playing injured for a bunch of the season. But for me, I do think that the running game for the 49ers is the key. I think they're going to try and not play keep away. I do think they're going to try and shorten the game as much as possible and keep the ball out of Mahomes' hands. But obviously, Kansas City will eventually be on offense, and those playmakers are a problem. And I do think, you look at Andy Reid, I do think he'll have a much better plan than Matt LaFleur did to attack that defense. Ultimately, I do think it helps that they're in a neutral stadium, although I'll be interested to see what the fan split is like. It's always a little different when you get to the Super Bowl. But that 49ers front, ultimately, I think is going to be a problem. And if I had to make a pick, which I don't, but if I had to, I'd probably take the 49ers. But I'm very much rooting for the Chiefs to win. DeMartel Gilbert, thank you for the super chat. Do you think we should sign Cobb for 1 year? I'd be absolutely shocked if they went back to Randall Cobb. I know he's set to be a free agent, but this is always the danger of free agency. We're weeks, if not a month, two away from actual free agency. And I tend to think there's a good chance that he re-signs with the Cowboys prior to free agency starting. I think the Packers have made a clear break from their time with McCarthy, and Randall Cobb is part of that. And I just think Gutekunst, Mark Murphy, everybody wants to move on and forge their own chapter, so to speak. And it's not to diminish anything Cobb contributed. I think he's a great guy, great player. But I'd be surprised if the Packers went that route. Now, I'm not completely dismissing it out of hand. I'm not going to say never. Ted Thompson made a cottage industry of bringing guys back who he had let go or allowed to walk. And Cobb could follow that same path. But there's a long way to go before we even know if Cobb is available. Free agent wide receiver or the draft or both? Andy, probably both. I don't think they can solve all their needs in the draft, and I do think they're going to have a little bit more salary cap to work with now that Aaron Rodgers has converted a portion of his bonus money. They're freeing up about $11 million there. Probably get a little bit more, four or five, from letting Lane Taylor go, which I suspect they'll do. The big question, obviously, is Jimmy Graham. Do they bring him back? If they let him go, they get about $8, $9 million. So they're going to be hovering around like 45, 50, probably heading into free agency. That's just a guesstimate, obviously. So they should be able to go out in free agency and fill some holes. I don't think they're going to go hog wild like we saw last year. I do think it'll be much more about the second and third waves of free agency. A lot of the big names that y'all are circling on your free agency lists, I think, will be long gone by the time the Packers are actively shopping. But we'll see. Again, tags, re-signings, etc. Those will all happen over the course of the next few months, and then we'll get a better idea of who's available. Caden, Robbie Anderson being a perfect example of somebody who I suspect will probably hit the market and the Packers probably will be interested in, but there's a long way to go. The Jets could still make a move there to try and lock him back up, bring him back into the fold, so to speak. But I got to think the Packers would be interested. They tried to trade for the guy. I do think there's going to be a major shakeup at wide receiver in Green Bay for obvious reasons. If all it takes is a team or two to start throwing ridiculous money at Robbie Anderson, and then I think the Packers are out. So we'll see. Yeah, again, a lot to play out yet. Did you see Jones and Williams get some nice salary bumps for next year? Steve, I did. Rob Domofsky put that out on Twitter this afternoon. I think their salary for 2020 went from $700,000 to $2.1 million for both of them, which is obviously a very nice chunk of change. It's the proven performance escalator. It's written into the CBA. If you get a certain percentage of snaps and you play a certain amount and are productive throughout your first 3 years, you get a nice little bonus basically for your fourth year. And I think that's really smart on both sides, the NFL and the PA, to give guys who do contribute and know that they're just a year away from free agency, but they do get rewarded for being consistently productive early on in their career. What up, Nagler? How's your Friday? Uncultured? I'll tell you what. I'm drinking some beer. I'm talking some Packers and Super Bowl. And yeah, life is good. And actually, I spent the day kind of the wheels in motion for a lot of our draft plans and free agency, what have you. And I got to tell you, man, I'm excited. I can't share what they are yet, as well as talking to possible partners for next season. A lot of great stuff coming up at Cheesehead TV. I'm really excited to start sharing it with you all, starting with a new show, which will start next week. Kind of teased it last night on social, I believe. Be on the lookout for that. A new podcast coming to Cheesehead TV. I'm really excited about that. That's just going to kick off a whole off season of lots of new stuff for you guys, including our draft coverage, which, like I said, it's going to be a lot of fun. So stick around. Stay tuned for that. They say defense wins championships, but how about coaching? Not a bad matchup this year. Do we need more out of our staff next year or too soon in the program? Oh, Doug, I think it's not too soon. I mean, it's a, you know, production business. It's a results business. And if you're not getting the results, if you're not producing, then it's time to look to upgrade, I think. And, you know, I think Alvis Whitted probably found that out yesterday when Matt LaFleur let him go as the wide receivers coach. I agree with you that the coaching matchup here on Sunday is phenomenal between Kyle and his staff and Reed and his staff. But don't forget, those guys have been coaching in the NFL for a very long time. And that's not to diminish what Matt LaFleur has done and the path he's taken, but he is still very much, very early on in his career. I'm excited to watch him grow in Green Bay. But Kyle, you know, he's been a play caller for a long time. He's been a head coach for a number of years. He's got a lot of pelts on the wall, a lot of experience, which LaFleur is currently gaining. Now, you don't dismiss the idea of, you know, the goal is to win championships, obviously. You get 3 years in and you think maybe LaFleur is doing all he can and there's never going to get better. Then maybe Murphy starts to think about making a change. But right now, the early returns are great. And while watching, you know, look how hard it is to win a Super Bowl. Look at Andy Reid. How many conference championships did he get to with the Eagles? One Super Bowl, couldn't close the deal. You know, it's, and he's one of the best coaches working. So it's, you know, it's hard. yeah, it's hard to win a Super Bowl, no doubt about it. Patriots have skewed that for a lot of people, I think, the perception. But yeah, I'm excited to watch these two teams play. But when it comes to the Packers, I think they're on the right track, coaching-wise. Austin, thank you for the super chat. Should we pursue an interior defensive lineman this offseason to improve our rush defense, or would an inside linebacker help more there? Austin, I think it's all about the inside linebacker spot. I think that whole group needs to be revamped and or kind of overhauled. The problem is, to my mind, the way I look at it, the defensive interior, don't get me wrong, you're always getting better, you're always getting worse. I think the big development there has to be Kingsley Keke and what he can give you over, say, a Tyler Lancaster. I think that's where the switch needs to happen. But the trick this offseason for me is the juggling act Brian Gutekunst has to do, doing two pretty big overhauls, both at inside linebacker and at wide receiver. Obviously, there's a finite amount of cap space for free agents, and there's a finite number of draft picks you can utilize, especially premium-wise, early on in the draft, to try and get immediate contributors. So that's a tightrope. That's going to be an interesting trick, how he tries to pull that off. But make no mistake, getting vastly better at both of those positions, inside linebacker and wide receiver, is the A number one priority this offseason. They are neck and neck. They both have to happen. How Gutekunst pulls that off, I'm interested to find out. Matthew, thank you for the super chat. Nice. Did your child get her autism from your drinking? Matthew, oh, look at you being an idiot. That's adorable. Hope you enjoyed the attention you got. Oh, are you the guy who messaged me on Instagram asking, or basically yelling about me and my daughter with autism needing to die? Because that's adorable, buddy. What's funny is that you just gave me money to put that out there. That's great. Thanks, buddy. So cute. What else we got? Kenny needs a running mate. I mean, yes and no. I think they just need to improve the talent level there on the defensive line altogether. And I think Kingsley Keke is a big part of that. And that's not to dismiss the idea that maybe they draft somebody, maybe they bring somebody in free agency. But again, I think that's very much a day two or day three proposition. I do not think they're going to go premium draft pick and or big money free agent to try and improve on the interior of the defensive line. They've already paid Dean Lowry. They're about to pay Kenny Clark a whole bunch of money. I just don't see them spending a whole lot of capital to keep going on the interior. Now, I say that they could take one at 30. We'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. Oh, you guys, hey, guys, leave Matt alone. He's an idiot, and he got his little moment there, and it's fine. These are the people on the internet who have nothing better to do, and that this is their world. And he's home masturbating with some mayonnaise all over himself right now because he got me to read this. It's cool, man. It's cool. That's the limits of their life. We don't need to worry about it. Can a drafted inside linebacker make an impact in year one? Seems like perhaps a hard position to learn year one. That's a fair assessment, Doug. It really depends on the guy. And the reason it's hard for the Packers this offseason is that because of where they're drafting, you would think a premier guy who could play all three downs, have the speed, go to sideline, be a coverage guy as well as a force in the run, is probably going to be taken, you know, top 10, top 15. But the one hope the Packers have, or not the one hope, but a big hope for the Packers this offseason, in the draft especially, is that a somewhat premier talent could drop that far just because of the amount of quarterbacks that are expected to be taken. I mean, there could be as many as five quarterbacks taken in the first round, and that certainly helps the Packers' prospects as far as pushing talent down. A backer could definitely slide to them at 30 because of that. All the other team needs, all the, you know, teams that don't need an inside backer, etc., it could potentially push someone down to them. But again, a lot to play out there. Kurt, thanks for the super chat. What would it cost to get Josh Rosen? Please buy a beer on me. Thanks, buddy. What would it cost to get Josh Rosen? That's a very interesting question. I know that's been percolating on the internet. I talked about it last week here on Extra Cheese. We'll see. We'll see what are the Dolphins really open to even moving him? No, we don't know. I haven't seen any reports of that effect. But I can't imagine it would take much as far as draft picks go. Yeah, I don't know. We'll get a better idea about that probably as the offseason goes on, if and when he actually becomes available via trade. We'll start to see some reporting around it. I can't imagine it would be more than a day two pick, but that's just a wild guess. The Real DK, thanks for the super chat. That guy was an idiot. Matthew, it is your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. Shout out to the Goodwill Hunting reference. James, thanks for the super chat. Thanks for the great work, Nags. I look forward to these talks every day. Thank you, James. I do too. I tell you what, now we're entering it, right? We're hitting that part where the slow, real creeping realization of, oh my God, there's no Packers football forever is starting to hit us. So all we can do is lean into each other, Packers fans worldwide. And that's why Cheesehead TV is here. And hey, if you want to help support what we do, please consider giving us $5 a month on our Patreon, patreon.com/cheeseheadTV. You get all of our videos. You get my podcast. I got a great guest lined up next week. Not going to say who it is yet. That's my first tease. And hey, if you're a Patreon, you can challenge me to a game of Madden. I got the first game lined up for next Tuesday night. I'll be playing one patron every week throughout the offseason on Madden, on Xbox. Got to be on Patreon though. Thanks. I can't thank you guys enough. Those of you who are already on Patreon, it's kind of blows my mind. Do you think Adams and Lazard are the only locks to stay on the team out of all 53? No, I know. I'm kidding. You mean at the wide receiver spot? The only locks? I think Adams is actually the only lock. And, you know, I say that, and I know people are going to go crazy, but there's every possibility that Lazard comes into camp and doesn't pick up where he left off, and they draft and get a free agent wide receiver who absolutely blow everybody away competition-wise, and they move on from Lazard. And I know that seems crazy, and I don't think that happens. I doubt that happens, but you never know. That said, I fully expect Lazard to be on the team. But I do, if you're talking locks, Adams is the one. Hit like and subscribe. Thanks, King Fen. Appreciate you, buddy. Yeah. Hey, that's a good hit like, hit subscribe. Good idea. I might buy an Xbox just to play you in Madden. James. Okay, I can only control what I can control, man. If you feel the need to try and kick my ass at Madden, you saw what happened with Al yesterday. And if you didn't, people, go check out our YouTube video of the Super Bowl preview. We had a huge, huge 49ers fan. He's a producer here. Al was talking junk all week about how he's going to come and kick my ass. And as usual, I destroyed him. I think it was like 52-7 or some nonsense by the end. But he was having a great first half, marched down the field, went up 7-0, then intercepted Mahomes on the first offensive drive from the Chiefs. And I think it was like 10-7 heading into the last minute of the second half. He was feeling really good about his life. And then I intercepted it, took it back for a touchdown, and it was all hell for him from there on. So if you want to join the long list of people, there's Nick Costas, Al, obviously, the most famous example is Tom Grassi talking junk, talking about how you're going to kick my ass. And then, oh, hey, you show up and you're dead. If you want in on that, please join Patreon and challenge me to a game. Corey, thanks for the super chat. Nagler, you know I don't pay you a penny, right? Oh, I do know. Wait, what? At this time of year, I live for Cheesehead TV. Thanks to you and Corey. Thank you, Sly. Very nice of you. Thoughts on not drafting a QB to save the pick for more weapons so close to the big dance while still having Rodgers? I mean, I understand that mentality. I don't think that's how Gutekunst or anybody in 1265 Lombardi looks at it. It's a long-term proposition. And look, this is the same argument everybody had against Ted Thompson when he selected Aaron Rodgers. And that turned out okay. So, you know, I understand if they do end up selecting a quarterback at 30 or even maybe, God forbid, trading up for one that they love, people will be not outraged, but people will probably not love the idea in the moment. But hey, if there's a quarterback you absolutely love as a GM and you want to get him, you go get him. I don't have any problem with that. I have no problem with it. The one kind of difference here, not the one, but the glaring difference, obviously, is between the Favre-Rodgers thing as far as, oh, they're the same age when they selected Rodgers, Favre, etc., is that Rodgers is locked in for three more years and hasn't been talking about retirement every fucking summer for a number of seasons. So, you know, that's where I think there might be not trepidation, but there might be pause on the Packers side. But that said, they were going to take Drew Lock in the second round last year. So I think if somebody's available that they like, they'll take him. Ooh, look at these super chats. If they are both available at 30, who does Nags take, Jefferson or Chenault at wide receiver? Whew, that's a really good question. I saw Brandon put up the scouting report of Jefferson on Chiefs TV earlier today. If you haven't seen it, check that out. I don't know, probably Jefferson, but I love them both. I wouldn't be upset at either one. Frank, thanks for the super chat. Funding going towards you getting a PS4 for Madden. Thanks, Frank. That's very, very considerate of you. Favre held the organization hostage for years, and that had lots to do with drafting 12. When they did, they weren't sure which way Favre was going. I agree with that somewhat. I think it definitely played into, I want to get a quarterback to groom for if and when he does finally decide to move on. But I also do think that, you know, Rodgers falling and being the far and away best player on the board, according to Ted Thompson, doing the extra film work the week leading up to it, and it's just being too good a value to pass in Ted's eyes, I think that played a lot to do with it as well. Bryce, what's more annoying, pre-draft or pre-free agency? Oh my God, it's not even close. It's pre-draft. I mean, with free agency, it's like, I understand it's a little frustrating because we see all these names that are available and then tags happen, re-signings happen, and it's like those lists go far and away. But I know that. Like, it's the same every year. With the draft, oh my God. Especially now that they've kicked it back. Like, when it was in May, that was the worst. But, like, it just, forever and ever and ever and ever. And the word you get, like, again, a day after day after day after day after day after day, you get new mock drafts and, oh, he'll never be available and blah, blah, blah. And then the guy's available, but no one ever remembers that or saying that or caring about that. Because then when the draft happens, you're like, you get your dudes on your team and you're like, you're all in and that's all you care about. And then like 3 months of work, digital work, is totally irrelevant. It kills me. The pre-draft kills. The draft industrial complex kills me every year. Any good free agent middle linebackers? Caden, probably Middleton is probably the headliner there from the Rams. But he's a guy I think is going to get PAID paid on the first day of free agency. And I'd be very surprised if Gutekunst went that route. I love this. CEO fishing. Let me read this whole thing. Rosen is an egotistical, hot-headed, shitty QB. I mean, Fitzpatrick won the job over him. But before you say, well, it was Rosen's first year in the system, it was also Fitzpatrick's first year in that system. Hey, guess what? You know what Aaron Rodgers looked like the first couple summers in Green Bay? Exactly like Josh Rosen did, only he wasn't starting behind a shitty offensive line. Anybody judging Rosen by anything they've seen on an NFL field at this point, production-wise, just ignore. I mean, you've seen the tools are all there. The guy just needs to learn how to play in the NFL. And, like, what better place to do that in Green Bay behind Aaron Rodgers? And as far as egotistical, I think 12 was the same way. You know, it's like, people being so dismissive of the idea of Josh Rosen just kind of kill me. It's like he's like almost a carbon copy of what Aaron Rodgers was coming into the league, except he had to play right away on a really shitty team. Oh, I'm sorry, two shitty teams. Fitzpatrick's been in the league forever. He knows, he's seen everything. Yeah, he throws a ton of interceptions, and he's not Dan Marino or anything, but yeah, he's got a fountain of institutional knowledge when it comes to playing in the NFL. It's just, you can't even compare. Like I get not liking Rosen, whatever, but egotistical. Like, you've met the man? Did you see his goodbye video that he made when the Cardinals traded him? I mean, come on. Let's see. Do we go typical size wide receiver in the draft or speed shifty like Tyreek Hill? We need that speedy guy for once. Well, Tyreek Hill is a very special case. Obviously, he's one of the probably the fastest player in the league. I've been calling for either at running back or wide receiver a differing type, so to speak, for a long time. And the Packers seem hell-bent on having those big wide receivers who can work over the middle, can be productive through the changing seasons in Green Bay, etc. But I'm with you, man. I desperately want. That's why I was pining for Hollywood Brown last year this time. Obviously, they didn't go that route. But, you know, I would love to get a blazer on the field for Rodgers. Now, obviously, they have MVS, who has the speed. But he's definitely not the shifty type. He's the quick twitch stuff in tight spaces. That's not his game. And I still have hope for MVS. I'm not dismissing him out of hand. I'm not moving on. And I don't think the Packers are either. But, hey, if there's somebody available and they can bring him in, I'm all for it. I'm interested to see if they break that mold, because early signs under Gutekunst would suggest he's going to be the exact same as Ted Thompson, the exact same as Ron Wolf. And Rodgers actually likes him. You talk about Rosen. Yeah, he does. What's Sternberger's weapon role going to be? He's going to destroy the NFL next year. Okay, maybe that's a little much. But I do think he's going to be very good. And I do think he's going to be featured a lot more next year. I question whether a tight end playing with Aaron Rodgers is ever going to be huge as far as numbers. But I do think he is going to be your primary tight end next year. Dylan, thank you for the super chat. It's a weird feeling for me as a fan being more excited about fresh young Packer talent than Aaron Rodgers at this point. Yeah, I feel that. I feel you, man. They just got to keep augmenting the talent level around Rodgers, complimenting Rodgers on defense, etc. Because look, is he what he was? No, of course he's not. But he can still get them to the dance and win it. He has got all the tools. They've got a great team. They just have to extra step. Yeah, a little more help at wide receiver, a little help there at the inside linebacker. This team's got a legit shot, and it's a bona fide contender, and that's with Rodgers and whatever limitations he may have on the back nine of his career. He's still a bad man and can still help them get to and win a Super Bowl. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to jump. I can't thank you guys enough for hanging out here on a Friday afternoon, 180 of you just hanging out. And look, I just, whatever you do, don't leave your hunger on the sidelines. Tackle it the right way at Festival Foods, the grocery and tailgating headquarters of the Green Bay Packers. From their fan-favorite Festy Burgers to must-have game day wings and the legendary Towering T-Bone, Festival Foods has everything you need to make your next tailgating party a touchdown. Want more mouth-watering options? For the Super Bowl, of course you do. Explore all of their game day worthy food at festfoods.com/tailgating. And hey, as I said before, please consider giving us $5 a month on Patreon. Patreon.com/CheeseheadTV supports everything we do. You know you want to play me in Madden. Shut my stupid face up. Because you know what? I'm going to kick your ass in Madden. That's what I do. Seriously, though, thank you so much for the support. Thank you for liking, subscribing. And if you haven't yet, please do so. Because that's what we are. It's what we do. We're devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the Super Bowl.